Hello, friends. I'm Lee Brown. Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, which might be one of my most favorite episodes ever. So prepare to share this episode with your normie friends because I have Alejandro Sita here. We're talking America. We're talking mortgages. We're talking customer service. I mean, it's an all-purpose episode. Get ready to get fired up. I'll see you on the other side. You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in. So thank you for coming on the show.
You're very welcome, Lee. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm very interested to find out where you are. Obviously, you're not in Hungary since you just gave that away.
Yes.
And let us know what you do in and around the real estate space.
Well, I'm a real estate broker and I'm a mortgage broker in Southern California. And I specialize on doing mortgages for the self-employed, the entrepreneur, and the successful artist, which are the hardest to qualify for some reason.
Because the government is afraid of self-employed people because we have learned how to carve our own history and our own future out. And so they're scared of us. And then they make mortgages hard. But before I let you move off of that self-employed topic, and you might have lots of things to say, I'd love for you to pipe in a little bit about the change to the tax law where there are sick and family leave tax credits for self-employed people. Are you sending your people back to their accountants to amend their 2020 and 2021 returns? Because I just got mine amended to pick up those credits.
You know, in my experience of the self-employed people that we have worked with, they usually don't take those credits.
They should.
I know they should.
That's money in their pocket.
Yes, I completely agree with you. Their returns are very complex. I remember the last one I did, this gentleman had a 125-page return. And many times, like you said before, we cannot use the tax return because the self-employed takes so many deductions and that usually the return is not good for the law. So usually we don't use the tax return. Only in about 10% of cases we do that.
Well, you're anybody listening to this, if you're a self-employed, especially if you have a corporation, a pass-through entity, an S-Corp, LLC, a C-Corp, you need to be talking to your accountants because there have been changes to the tax laws. And remember, tax credits are money back in your hands, which you could then use for your down payment on a mortgage, which helps you qualify for the note. We should always remember that. And by the way, it's your tax dollars anyway. They're printing money up there nonstop in D.C. and it's our money. But anyway, how did you wind up doing mortgages in addition to doing real estate, or did real estate come first? Which one was chicken or egg?
Well, real estate has many topics and it has many areas, as you know. You can be a listing agent, you can be a buyer's agent, you can raise money for a real estate project, you can just do advice, you can do loans, you can do residential, you can do commercial and so on. And initially, I just wanted to do mortgages. And then here in Southern California, my broker said, you know, if you want to do mortgages, you need to get a real estate license. So basically, I had to get a real estate license. I wasn't planning on using it. And it was just an accident that I ended up using it and really loving it.
Well, it's actually pretty common in real estate that people wind up in it because they don't know what else to do. They get a license and accidentally sell a house. And suddenly, 20 years later, here they are, successful and kind of don't have any idea of how they wound up here, except that realtors are very good at communication and relationships and figuring things out when they have no idea what's going on. So what part of Southern California do you serve?
I serve Los Angeles, Orange County, San Diego County, and I now have some clients in Northern California. And recently we got approved for Florida, so we can do Florida as well.
Well, of course you did. People are leaving California and going to Florida and also to North Carolina. So I guess you may as well serve all the ones that are immigrating out of your side of the coastline and coming over here to the Atlantic side. And we're glad to have them, most of them. And so let's talk about that for just a second. Why do you think so many people are moving to the East Coast right now? Is it the tax burden? Is it the government burden? Is it frustration over COVID policies? Or is it all those added together?
You know, it's a little bit of all of those added together. I come from Chile. I remember in 1973 when the socialist government was overthrown, I was about 7. I still remember the planes flying down my house, bombarding the presidential palace. My brother and I, we were at the window wanting to see it. And my mom was screaming and grabbed us and made us hide under the table. So to me, this is very real. And the reason I came here to the United States is because I didn't want to be in that scenario again. So you asked me a very personal question, and if you don't want me to say anything, let me know, because I'm not very politically correct.
No, I want to talk about this, because this is a real topic that very few people want to say anything about because they don't want to offend anybody. But if we don't defend this country and explain very carefully what's happening and what the impacts could be, I think a lot of folks are going to be caught off guard because they really believe that the best is always going to occur, but the best only occurs if you keep the worst out of the primary position. So I want to hear more about what you've lived through.
Well, I completely agree with you. People are leaving California, not just California, Oregon, Washington State, another state, because basically, in my personal opinion, and like I said, you know, this is very politically incorrect, the local governments have forgotten their heritage, in my opinion. You know, when I came to the U.S. many years ago, I remember this very interesting experience. I always believed that I was free. Chile was okay, you know. But I remember when I went to get my first social security number, and then the first thing I found out is that, in theory, you don't have to have a social security number. This is a voluntary thing, because really the government doesn't have a right to have a number appended to you. Now, this may seem weird to younger people because today there is a lot of worse that is going on, but that stopped me in my tracks. And I went, what? You don't have to have a number appended to your face? Because in the system that I was born, that was like an obvious fact that it is like that. And I believe that people today think that way. But that started to open my eyes. And I can tell you this, I have lived in Europe. I have lived in South America. I've lived a little bit in New Zealand and Australia. And I can tell you that nowhere else in the world that I know of, there is this feeling that you are a sovereign individual and that the individual is prime and has a precedence or has a bigger importance than the actual collective. This reasoning that we have to sacrifice our individual liberties for the collective sounds good, but it really doesn't work. It propels you to the wrong path, economically, financially, socially. And like I said, it sounds good because we as human beings, most of us, we basically have good intentions and we want to help our fellow human beings. You know, this is what we naturally, except the very few that are completely crazy, but those are very few and you cannot get rid of those. This is how life is. But in reality, if you pursue, in my opinion, and again, today is politically incorrect. A few years ago, this would have been called something patriotic. But if you follow what the founding fathers laid down, which is amazing that in the 1700s they had the foresight to do this. If you follow what they laid down, your life financially, economically, socially would just be successful. That's all you have to do. You don't have to reinvent the wheel again. And that's where we're today.
Oh, I'm so glad that we went down that little rabbit hole. And I'm going to guess, have you ever read Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged?
Yes.
I thought yes. You might, because there's a lot of people that get angry about that book. In fact, I don't know if you saw it, but Aaron Rodgers, when he was interviewed on Peyton Manning's podcast, a copy of Atlas Shrugged was behind him, and Blue Check Twitter went nuts because they saw that book. And of course, in the book, I don't agree with the fact that she was an atheist, but it's okay. We don't have to agree with everything. But she talks about the virtue of selfishness. And it's so fascinating to realize that if I'm looking out for the best or for me, that entails the best for people around me. But if I look out for only the best for other people, I'm going to start being lazy because a collective is going to always sink to the lowest common denominator, which is what's happening in the public schools when we take away the high flyer's sense of achievement and we just say nobody should have to do math and nobody should have to do really good hard work. So I love that we chatted about this. And frankly, it's the cornerstone of real estate because, you know, as living in all those other countries, there is no such thing as private property rights. And in the U.S., what we have for property rights is constantly under attack because there's always somebody who thinks they know better than we do what we should do with the property that we own. So I'm curious as to how your personal history and what you've seen of tyrannical authoritarian governments has impacted how you serve your clients through mortgage and real estate.
One of the things that I can tell you, there is one story that I would like to tell you because to me it was life-changing. When I was like 7 years of age, I went to my dad. I had read something on the newspaper and I said to my dad, hey, dad, is it true that, I don't even remember what it was, but this is what I remember. I asked him the question, is it true that this and this and that? And he usually would answer my questions. They would be very interesting questions. He was an engineer. He was from Hungary. He had traveled to many countries and his answers were always very constructive to me. But this time he just looked at me and he said, where did you get that from? And I said, well, I read it on the newspaper. And then he looked at me again and he said, do you believe what's on the newspaper? And then that was shocking to me because I never thought that I should not. That thought had never entered my mind. And the moral of the story is not that the newspapers lie, because they do, but that's not what I'm trying to say, is that he basically told me without these words, you have to evaluate the information that you're being given. Don't take it as a given simply because the source seems a learned source. So to answer your question, this is what I learned and it was hard for me, is that if I'm in a real estate transaction and the buyer or the seller or my borrower wants me to do a certain thing that I know is not ideal, in the past, I used to try to force them. And then I realized, no, this is their transaction. This is their money. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to advise them as to what I believe they should do. But if they decide to actually discard it and still do what they want to do, I'm just going to I'm going to support them the best I can, even though I personally don't agree with it, and I'm going to go ahead and do what they want to do. This is how real estate ties in to this. The individual has precedence over the actual collective. And he's paying me. So he wants me to do this, I'll do it.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. It's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. Each of you has different goals. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. We all need to learn from your dad. It's the whole Reagan phrase of trust but verify. You right. can believe what you're reading, but you should always ask more questions and go one step deeper, which is what a true real estate professional does. Is all right, so we see the disclosure documents. Now let's go verify with the county what the zoning actually is. Let's go check the water and sewer situation. What are the monthly utilities? And many of our clients ask us these questions. And the great realtors are always out there one step ahead of them, asking additional questions and not just believing what they see. And frankly, the mortgage side saw this big time in the last recession, because we had all those stated income loans and no doc loans, and people told lies because they could get away with it. But your best mortgage brokers were never in jail for fraud, and they were never tangled up in that stuff because they all went one step deeper. So high five right. to dad, because he gave us a good lesson for the day. And make sure that you tell him if you still have your dad. Is he still alive?
No, unfortunately, he died in 1982.
Okay, so dad, we're talking about you today and it's all good. All right. So of course we're way off track today, but this is now one of my favorite episodes of all time. And I didn't know you were going to give me the good patriotic spin, Alejandro. You're my favorite. So I'd love to know what story you came to the podcast to tell today, because I know my audience is into the things in real estate, the angles that they've never expected to hear about. And frankly, we've already given them a little of that, but I know you came with a story to tell. So what do you have?
Yes, I have many very crazy stories, but I was thinking which one to tell you, and it's going to be this. One thing that I have to warn you, and well, you already know this and your audience already knows this, but real estate is a highly emotional business. Even a mortgage broker, it's not about the numbers. It's about people's perceptions, people's goals. And this is the story. I met, because I speak Spanish, you know, I come from Chile, I met these investors from a Latin American country, and they asked me to get them a loan, to give them a loan on a 12-unit complex they had built. They had built these beautiful townhomes, you know, high-end, luxury homes, and they had sold a few. The project had taken a little longer. They needed some money, and they asked me to give them a loan as a project. And I started to do that. In the middle of getting them the loan for the project, they said, hey, Alejandro, do you do residential loans too? And I go, yes, of course I do residential loans. As a matter of fact, most of my loans are residentials. They go, we have a client in one of the units. Can you get them a loan? Because if you get them a loan with the money that we're going to get from the sale, then we don't have to do this big, expensive loan that you're looking for us. And I said, okay, I'll talk to him. I talked to him. This person is a VIP. He's a fashion designer. He's a rapper. And then I have never met a better rapper before. My dad, by the way, my grandfather was a fashion designer. So I had a little bit of a, yes. But he has a completely different culture, a completely different type of working hours, completely different set of values. The loan was very, very, very difficult. And then in the process of doing the loan, he, my borrower now, got upset with the developer, my client. Very upset. They really got at each other's throat. So I said, you know what? This is not working. I just need to go in person. I need to diffuse the situation. When I go to see the borrower in person, I met his realtor. His realtor is suspicious of me. He's going, why is the developer's lender coming to see my client? So he thought there was some kind of an ulterior motive. So I had to gain his confidence and his trust. Just to make a long story short, the loan was extremely complicated. The seller, my client, calls me one day. He said, Alejandro, I don't want to do this. I don't want to sell it to him. He's this, he's that, blah, blah, blah. He started to like rant on the phone, scream on the phone. I want to cancel the transaction. And even though I'm just a loan guy, I'm not the buyer's agent, I'm not the listing agent, but because I'm a realtor too, I said, hey, you can't do this. You already signed a contract. You and the buyer, as much as you don't like him, he has not broken the contract. There is not a contractual reason why you can get rid of him. And this went on and on and on for like 2 or 3 months. It was so terrible, but because I knew the investors, I don't know if you're following me so far. This is getting a little complicated, but because I knew the investors of the project, I started to talk to the investors too. And to make a long story short, at the very last minute, when the whole hell had broken loose, when the seller, my client, and the borrower, my client also, were like at each other's throat and screaming each other and threatening them each other and so on and so on, the loan got done.
Of course. So did they make up after closing happened?
No.
Did that investor ever back that seller again? Or were they hesitant about them with everything that felt like it was out cross purposes?
The investors were very happy because they got money too. And this is a beautiful project, but unfortunately they went a little bit like avant-garde, meaning that they built in a neighborhood that is up and coming, but it wasn't up and coming yet to the level of quality that they did. So they were the most expensive in the neighborhood, not just by a little, by far. So that's why they had a little bit of difficulty on selling the units.
Gotcha. So in looking back, would you have represented that borrower again, or do you wish you had let somebody else handle them?
No, I'm very glad that I'm representing the borrower because, you know, this is when the opportunity comes from the unexpected corner. What happened is that I ended up befriending the buyer's agent. We became such good friends. We've done 4 transactions so far together, and we're a wonderful team now.
So you took all the rough scenario and with a lot of communication, held everything together, most importantly, with your professional colleague.
Yes. But you know, this has happened to me from the very first loan. I remember the very first loan. I used to live in San Diego. I was driving north. This woman calls me. She starts to insult me over the phone. But very quickly, I'm going to tell you another story, if I may, which I never forgot. I was like 12 or 13. My dad had traveled to the U.S. We were in a store in South Florida. He was buying some kind of electronic equipment, and we had to wait because the salesman at the electronic store was on the phone talking to an irate customer. And you could see that the other guy on the other line was insulting him really badly. And I never forgot how this professional salesman didn't get upset. He said, I'm sorry, sir, you had that experience. Please bring it back. We'll gladly refund your money. And then please talk to me and we'll give you another unit. And he had to repeat it over and over and over, over all the insults of this other guy. And that marked me. After I saw that, I thought, wow, this is how you have to behave when this happens to you. And this has happened to me many times because real estate is highly emotional.
It is. And especially in today's world where people are already on the thinnest level of grace they have left. They're so frustrated about everything. And then people, me included, like I lash out at the thing that frustrates me at the wrong time. But that experience that you had watching that man manage somebody who was so angry, they couldn't hear that he was offering them a solution. Man, that's a life lesson for everybody. If you just get quiet for a second, you may find the solution is being offered. And we have to remember that in dealing with real estate, because as you've said a couple of times, it is a highly emotional process. And I think sometimes realtors forget that when we get in the thick of trying to win and handling all the details, that client is going to live there in this residential property and lay their head down there to go to sleep at night. And if you're an investor, your tenants are going to sleep there at night. And people want to have somewhere that's safe and secure where they can make it theirs for a long time. So I love that you've given us a couple of different angles there. So Alejandro, if anybody's looking for a real estate broker or a mortgage professional in Southern California and soon to be in Northern California, how is it best for them to find you?
The best is to email me. Go to info@prosperitylending.us. info@prosperitylending.us. That's the best way to reach me.
I notice you're smart enough not to put a difficult to spell name in your email address. So well done. Well done. And that's Alejandro Zita, y'all. And so all of his contact information, including that email address, are in the show notes for this episode. So if you click on the link, you'll have all of his information so you can connect, ask questions, and talk to a professional in the Southern California market who absolutely understands how awesome this country is and might help you regain a little bit of your own love of country. In the meantime, give him some love down in the comments. A whole string of American flag emoji is a very appropriate thing. If you want to toss Chile in once in a while, we're cool with that too. And make sure you subscribe for more. Hit the bell so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time over here on Crazy Shit.
Thank you, Lee.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more Crazy Shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram @LeeThomasBrown or tweet me @LeeBrown or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.